Hi, and welcome to the Feed the Pig podcast. I'm your host, Tim Farrell. Money shouldn't drive your future, but neither should debt. It's time for you to take control, not just for today, but for your whole life. Remember, small changes add up. The Feed the Pig podcast is here to help you take steps to start saving for today, so you'll have a solid financial future tomorrow.
Here on episode 6, we're discussing the issues behind having an emergency fund. Emergency!
Are you ready for the unexpected?
The Feed the Pig podcast. You've come back and joined us again. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Today we've got Anthony, and we're going to talk a little bit about emergency funds. I know everyone is aware of the horrible situations in Louisiana after Hurricane Katrina and in Alabama, and the whole concept that there's something catastrophic could come along and change everything, and being just a little bit prepared is really something we all have to think about. So, Anthony, tell me a little bit about yourself. Do you think in these terms? I mean, do you have any kind of emergency fund?
I try to look at things optimistically, and I certainly understand the need for it, I guess, but whenever I just get into thinking about it, it just seems like it's so depressing that like something horrible could happen to me, and it frustrates me, and I don't it's not something I want to think about. I mean, isn't optimism just enough?
I wish it was. I really do. Also joining us today on the podcast is Mark Minker. He's a CPA from New York City, and thanks for agreeing to be on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tim.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the emergency fund. You know, does age affect, Mark, what you should be thinking in terms of emergency funds?
It does have an impact. I mean, obviously, not only your age, but your social situation, whether you're married or single, is going to have an impact as well. I think it's always a prudent idea to have some money tucked away for, you know, rainy days or an emergency that, you know, may be unforeseen.
Hmm. Well, when you say I should have, like, some money tucked away, I mean, I have a little bit of savings, and how do I even know, like, how much is enough for, you know, how do I go about figuring that out?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, as a basic and general rule, it's prudent to have between 3, optimally perhaps 6 months worth of living expenses, or those core expenses that kind of keep the lights on, keep food on the table, keep clothing on your back, tucked away in a savings account or somewhere liquid where if you needed to get to it, you could get to it. God forbid something happened that was unforeseen that you needed to have the monies. Could be a hurricane came through, perhaps, you know, you were displaced or lost your job, any of a number of different situations that we all would prefer not to have happen. But, you know, the reality is that these things do occur, and we need to be prepared for them so that we're financially able to deal with that and get ourselves back up on our feet and back up into what we wanted to be doing in the first place as quickly as possible. So I would say that, you know, if you're looking at how much should I accumulate, you'd look at things such as, you know, what are my housing expenses? What food costs do I have? Do I have transportation or utility expenses that I need to kind of keep the lights on? Do I need to, you know, pay for insurance premiums for a variety of different things, automobile expenses? Add all of that stuff up, you know, or try to at least estimate what those should be, and then, you know, try to accumulate, again, between 3 and 6 months, 6 months being the optimal amount or more if you can afford it, into an account that it's going to be available to you if and when you need it.
Well, I have a lot of money in the stock market. I kind of just figured, worst case scenario, I could kind of just dump my stocks and, you know, probably cover pretty much anything life could throw at me.
You probably could, but, you know, you don't want to find yourself in a situation where at the time that you need those funds, the stock market's gone through one of its 500 or 700 point tumbles, and liquidity is at, you know, bare bones, and the prices of all the investments that you had have really come down dramatically, and you're kind of forced at, you know, the worst point in time to sell. I agree, you probably could get some money, but it may not obviously be as much as you have in there now, which is why we generally want to have those types of emergency funds put away in a money market account, perhaps a short-term treasury bill as opposed to a stock or an equity investment. You know, something that's really liquid and is not going to have much fluctuation in value from one day to the next as the financial markets fluctuate.
I know with my savings, I think the largest savings I have are in retirement accounts. And I guess I probably shouldn't be thinking in terms of those, right?
Well, that's not the optimal emergency savings account. But certainly it is a source. I mean, if you think about what is this trying to do, it's, you know, we need to have some monies available from a liquid perspective when there's an emergency or when something unforeseen has occurred. My roof blows off, I need to get the thing replaced ASAP. You know, you're not going to necessarily worry about whether I have to take it out of a 401k plan or take a loan. The point is that if that's the only place that you've got any funds of any significance, you can look to there. It wouldn't be the optimal place, but it's some place that you can look. Alternatively, what I'm suggesting is that if that is what your situation is now, then now is a good time to start thinking about maybe accumulating or accruing some funds outside of a 401k or a retirement plan so that you do have the ability to get at that money without having to upset your retirement savings and at the same time address that emergency need that you have.
Well, what would be, I don't even know, like, how, you know, you kind of told me I would need enough money for 3 to 6 months. It's kind of like, seems like a really difficult process. Like, it might take me, you know, 2 years to get up my emergency fund even close to that. I mean, how should I go about getting started?
Well, if it takes you 2 years, it takes you 2 years. But I think the point is to start as soon as possible. You know, the sooner you start, obviously, the less time it's going to ultimately take. You have to figure out the number. Let's assume, just for argument's sake, the number is $10,000. And you're able to save at the clip of $500 a month, right, just to make up some numbers. It'll take you a good year and a half to accumulate the funds necessary to fund that account, but every month that you're putting $500 away towards that goal is an extra $500 that you don't have to then save or find at some point in the future. And think about it, when you get to that point where you've made that goal, you've gotten that $10,000 amount accumulated, now you've effectively, number one, gotten into the habit of saving some amount of money, in this case $500 a month. Hopefully you'll continue that on and say, okay, I've got my emergency reserve, you know, funded and my money's there and it's safe and it's in a, you know, liquid account and it may be not earning 12 or 15%, but I know it's there if I need it. I'm going to just tuck it away and forget that I need it, that it's there until I need it. You can now take that extra money and divert it into a different goal and save for a different goal, be it for retirement, be it for a purchase of a home, purchase of a new car, you know, any variety of things that, you know, might come up during one's life, because, you know, you're in the habit of saving. You just now are diverting it to a different fund or a different account.
So say he's got the $10,000 saved. You had said, like, how you sort of touched on this a minute ago, but what kind of vehicle, or should it just be in a savings account? Should it be in some kind of something that'll help it grow also?
Well, I don't think that we want to put it into something that's going to grow dramatically. I mean, it would be nice, but you know, remember that the use of these funds is to have it so that it's available if and when you need it. So you have to have it liquid. And generally, if you have a liquid investment, you're not going to get a great or a high rate of return. You'll get a return that's probably going to be sufficient enough to cover inflationary increases in the cost of the things that you wanted to fund for in the first place. What I generally have done with clients that don't have an emergency reserve fund is we set up a separate savings account at the bank that they have their checking account at, and we have an automatic standing instruction that every month, you know, when the paycheck or the money's come into that particular checking account, some number, in the case I was using before, 500, it might be too much, maybe it's 100 or 200, the point is it's some number that everybody's comfortable with, is not going to put a crimp on one's lifestyle, automatically gets taken right out of the checking account and put into the savings account until you've accumulated the amount that you were looking for, in the case we used before, $10,000. Once we've accumulated that $10,000 rainy day fund, then you can put it into any number of things. Again, liquid. I like to use, for example, treasury bills or treasury, you know, short-term treasury deposits. It could just stay in a money market account at that same bank. You could keep it in the savings account. I mean, some banks do offer relatively high rates of return on their savings accounts, even though they're, you know, kind of liquid accounts and they generally would not pay much more than today, about 1% or 2%. You may be able to squeeze 3% or 4%, maybe even 5%, depending on the bank that you're working with.
I understand, you know, where you're coming from, but it just seems so hard. You know, I work so hard, and at the end of you know, the day, after I get my check, I just like to spend my money. I mean, I don't really see why I can't just, you know, I have good credit, I have a couple of credit cards. I think I'd be able to be covered for a while, you know, just kind of taking care of anything that comes up on a credit card. Like, what's the big deal with that? Like, why can't I do that?
Well, if you were to do, I understand what you're saying. If you were to go down that path, and let's take a situation where, You lost your job, and it took a while till you found another position. And during that intervening period of time, you were essentially funding your living through the use of the credit card. How are you going to be able to find the money, number one, to pay the credit cards off? And if you are able to find the money to pay it off, at the end of the day, what are you going to have ultimately left?
Not much.
Right. So the idea here is taking that into view to try and start to accumulate some funds so that you've got that money set aside. Some people, you think back, people talk about, well, I have money under the mattress, I have money in my pillow, wherever you're ultimately going to put it. The point is to have some of that liquidity available so you don't have to rely on credit. Number one, you may not have enough credit, on the credit line to even allow you to, subsist for more than a couple of months. Number two, once that's maxed out, if you don't have any money, you're going to really be in a very hard place. And I think you should try to tilt the world the other way and say, let me make sure I can self-fund for some period of time, again, 3-6 months or something of that magnitude. And if I need to at that point, then I can look at other alternatives. Tim mentioned, for example, the retirement accounts might be one source. I hate to say it, but if everything else is, exhausted, you might have to look at the credit card situation, although I'd certainly counsel against it unless he absolutely had to.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Feed the Pig podcast. Next time, we'll be discussing the issues behind buying your first car. It's a rite of passage, and before you get into the fast lane, there's a lot of things to think about, especially if you're going to be one of those hot new Mustangs. Mark Minker is a CPA, PFS, that's Personal Financial Specialist, who works for Mahoney Cohen Family Office Services, LLC, in New York City. And if you're looking for more ways to save, check out feedthepig.org, that's feedthepig.org, or you can email us a question for our next episode to feedthepig@gmail.com.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or feedthepig.org. It is provided with the understanding that AICPA and feedthepig.org are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and feedthepig.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.